Okay, well, welcome to the Leadersmith podcast. Today is Tuesday, so that means it's Twitter Tuesday, and we're on Parler, and I feel like I need a new name, but I am too lazy to rename it. Stay tuned.
In a world of incompetent bosses, micromanagers, and petty tyrants, one management professor claims that he can help you become the kind of leader that you would want to follow. You are listening to The Leadersmith. Now, here is your host, Darren Gurdis.
Okay, so in this episode, we're going to be back on Parler. I found some really good stuff on Parler last week, and so here we are. The first one, by the way, if you don't know what Twitter Tuesday is, I go out either to Twitter or recently I've been out on LinkedIn and now on Parler, and I'm going to try some other things as well. And I look for leadership quotes, leadership concepts that people have posted with, you know, hashtag leadership or, you know, those kind of hashtags. And I'm just trying to find some real gems, and I sort through it before we get to this episode and then we just talk about it. Okay, so the first one is, again, we're on Parler. The first one's by TX Veteran, so Texas Veteran, at Lone Stars, S-T-A-R-Z. And he says, Storman Norman, a great commander who preferred to lead from the front. And that's his introduction to a meme of Norman Schwarzkopf. And it's a quote by Schwarzkopf. Schwarzkopf said, it doesn't take a hero to order men into battle. It takes a hero to be one of those men going into battle. And that's the quote. And, you know, I think that's good, because a lot of times we think, oh, well, you know, look at me, I'm on top of the organization and I'm telling people what to do. And that's not really the same thing as actually doing the work to get it done. And very often when people are on top of the organization, if they screw up, the people that are sacrificed are not the executive suite. They're the people on the front lines. Those are the ones when there's some kind of cutback or that are really affected. And the people at the top seem to get spared. It works the same way like in schools with administrators that keep being top heavy as the ratio of administrators to actual teachers are increasing significantly over time, where, you know, there's a cutback. Well, how come the administrators aren't going? Same kind of thing. Anyway, the quote's interesting, and the quote is actually the title of his book. His autobiography is It Doesn't Take a Hero, and it comes from that same quote. All right, good work there, Texas Veteran at Lone Stars. Okay, the next one is at Rich Holland, or I'm sorry, Rich Holland at R Holland, R-H-O-L-L-A-N-D. And he has a meme that says, Noah looked crazy till it started raining. And it has a Noah's Ark and the rain. And you know, that one resonated with me. I remember when I was in graduate school, there was a professor that did a great talk about, you know, leaders are often losers until they win. And he went through example after example of leaders who just looked like they were losing, looked like they were toast, looked like, you know, all is lost until they won. And so, yeah, Noah looked crazy. I mean, he had this vision of building the ark, and it wasn't like, I have a vision. It was, no, this is God's vision. That's how it worked. And he's building the ark, and he's doing it and doing it and doing it and doing it and being mocked. But once it started raining, people kind of got the idea. A little bit late for them, but yeah. So he had to stay on track through all that crazy making along the way. Okay, the next one is by writer Jojo Tabarez. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. At writer, W-R-I-T-E-R, J-O-J-O-T-A-B-A-R-E-S. And the question, how do you communicate you're a leader in what you do? And with that, there is a meme that she put here that says a leader needs to communicate that he's worth following. And that is great stuff. A leader needs to communicate that he's worth following. Yeah, very often there are some issues with that. Either the person has been elevated and doesn't have the confidence, or just doesn't give off the right vibes, or doesn't actually communicate, or whatever. But there's a number of reasons why that could be spot on. So thank you, writer Jojo Tabarez, and I hope I'm not slaughtering a name. All right, the next one is from Thomas Mann. He says, as a frontline supervisor, I always struggle between being a manager and a leader. As a new supervisor, less than 5 years experience, I lean toward being a manager, and I want to use the leadership skills and ways I've learned along the way. It's tough for me to distinguish in a situation which way to be. And he has some hashtags, leader, leadership, that kind of thing. Okay, so Thomas Mann, M-A-N-N. Okay, and then, but with that, he has this thing that he posted, managers versus leaders. And he said, what's the real difference? This is the meme says, a manager is this, a leader is that. And so managers, they tend to administer. Okay, and that's right. That, you know, their process is transactional to meet objectives, delegates tasks, and that's, you know, part and parcel of the job. Leaders, on the other hand, innovate. Their process is transformational, develop a vision, find a way forward. Okay, so that's a basic problem. Now, often a manager and leader have to be the same person. So there is this real tension inside a person, which is, am I following the rules or am I changing the rules in order to grow and make something better? The manager is work focused, and that is that the goal is to get things done. They are skilled at allocating work. Okay, and the leader is people focused. The goals include both people and results, and they care about you and want you to succeed. Okay, so that right there is the greatest tension, I think, for managers, because you know you have to get certain things done, and you know you have to get things done through people. So your tendency is to use people, as opposed to a feeling on the other side where the idea is I'm trying to grow this person and get this done in the process. So there's a difference between those two focuses, and that comes out. Okay, the manager has subordinates. They create circles of power and lead by authority. The leader has followers. They create circles of influence and lead by inspiring. And often when the rubber meets the road, managers and leaders, and there's that tension, and they default into managers of, you know, using power, leading by authority, not worried about being influenced so much, just get it done. We got to get this thing done. And then finally, leaders and managers do things right, leaders do the right thing. And that's the last category. And that goes back, I think Drucker said that, or Covey, I think Maxwell has echoed it. It has a long history. So that's a really interesting meme. There's a real tension there. And so thank you to Thomas Mann for posting that, because, you know, it's worth considering how those two things interact with each other. Okay, the next one is by Lloyd for Man, L-L-O-Y-D for M-A-N. Okay, and he says this, a leader's focus determines the way that a leader faces the inclusions, interruptions, insights, inputs, and interactions. A right focus leads to an ultimately bright outcome. And yeah, I think that's right. And he has with that a meme that says whatever is true and right and pure and lovely and admirable. And this comes out of Philippians 4:8. If there's anything excellent or praiseworthy, think on such things. Now, that's really interesting. And to the degree that what your focus is going to rub off on you, on others. Let's start here. So how your focus rubs off on others, and if you're focused on whatever's true and right and pure and lovely and admirable and excellent and praiseworthy, that's going to shape the way that people think. On the other hand, if your focus is how terrible the boss is or how awful the situation is, they're going to be focused on that. I mean, they take their cues from you. So it's really interesting to think about just how much what you focus on is what they focus on by default, just because whatever you do as a leader shouts. Okay, the next one is by Blue Collar Leadership. Blue Collar Leadership posts some really good stuff on Parler. At Blue Collar Leadership, if we want to manage people, we must have a formal position of authority, which comes preloaded with artificial influence. I love the way that they're describing this artificial influence, right? You're in power, and so because you're in power, you have this artificial influence, and that's not necessarily the right thing. I like, if you didn't have that office, it wouldn't be the same. Okay, let me keep going. People must follow managers of people because they have to. If we want to lead people, we must develop moral authority based on our character, which allows us to earn authentic influence. People follow leaders of people because they want to. And then he said, artificial influence is always limited by our position. Authentic influence can only be limited by our character. Isn't that great? I mean, that's, he just sums it up so well. And then he has a little meme that follows. It says, position has a lot to do with managing and very little to do with leading. And, you know, I'm less excited about the meme, although the meme is fine. But this whole idea of, you know, we're limited by, well, first, we're ratcheted up a little bit higher because of this artificial influence, but that will only get us so far. And what I find is that there's a real pitfall for people that try to use that artificial influence as if that's, you know, that's, well, that's something big. Well, I have that artificial influence. Don't be tricked by that, because that artificial influence is only the starting block. It only gets you in the game. After that, you better work on your moral authority. Very good blue-collar leadership. Okay, the next one is by Kingsley Grant, KingsleyGrant, at Kingsley Grant. And it says, leadership moment. Leaders, do your best to have convictions. Share them. Live by them. If you don't, you'll try to please, to win the applause of others, only to fall apart when they criticize you. Yes, 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 yes. I mean, that's just great stuff, because you're going to be criticized, because you're not going to please everyone. That's just part and parcel of what leadership is. You think they owe you, so you build on that. It's hard to lead effectively when you stake your leadership on applause. Oh, man. This is great stuff, Kingsley. I mean, you can't be leading for applause. You have to be leading to do the right thing and recognize that they will applaud your doing the right thing ultimately, long run, knowing that you're doing the right thing, that you have their back, that you're trying to make the best decisions on their behalf, but not incrementally along the way. Yay, they're going to be so, you know, oh, I'm glad they made this decision. No, they have to be able to build trust. I ran into an interesting quote the other day that said, we fall in love, but we never fall into trust, right? So you have to build that trust. And if you build that trust, you're going to get that long-term applause if you do the right thing, having their back. But you can't be expecting that. You can't build leadership incrementally on short-term decisions of applause. Okay, let me say that again. The last line was, you think they owe you, so you build on that. It's hard to lead effectively when you stake your leadership on applause. It really, really is. Kingsley, that's a great insight, and I'm glad that you posted that. And with that, he had a meme that said, I don't live by people's compliments, because if I do, I'll die by their criticisms. And that's a quote by Stephen Furtick. I think Furtick's a pastor, but what a great quote. I don't live by people's compliments, because if I do, I'll die by their criticism. So it's good to understand that that's, you know, that's how it works. Okay, the next one is by Frank Sonnenberg, at Sonnenberg. And he has this paragraph that with a guy with a little devil's mask on. And it says this, some leaders are causing irreparable damage to great institutions by shirking their responsibility. They're afraid to address difficult issues, make tough decisions, and introduce the change that's required to achieve long-term success. Instead, these counterfeit leaders, counterfeits in quotes, these counterfeit leaders spend much of their time playing politics, protecting their turf, and promoting their self-interest. To make matters worse, counterfeit leaders in both public and private sectors often masquerade as positive role models while conducting unethical or irresponsible behavior that undermines the very foundation of their institution. Well, you know, I would like to know what motivated Frank to post that, but that's right. There, I mean, you have a lot of people that are, okay, so when you're a leader, when you're in that role, you have a fiduciary trust to your organization. You're supposed to be doing the best on behalf of them. But I've seen it time and time again where the leader of that organization becomes blind to that trust, and they start thinking that the organization is their personal playpen, and, you know, theirs to move the pieces around as they see fit, and theirs to dip into their resources to use it for their purposes. That's bad. That's counterfeit leadership. I think Frank's really nailing something, but I would just love to know what's going on in the background. What has motivated that? Don't be a counterfeit leader. Okay, last one. It's from Ellie Milanos at ELLIEMILANOS. And she says this, she has a meme here or a picture of something, but she introduces it by saying, service to others is what makes a great leader, and leading is a responsibility given by the Most High. And it says, servant leadership and save our children. And then it has this picture. It's a TV where the person talking has a sign he's pointing to. It says, leadership is a stewardship. We don't have people. We have a responsibility to people. Oh, I love that. I mean, that's the kind of thing I emphasize in class like all the time. I don't have people. This isn't my person. I have a responsibility to that person. I have a deep responsibility. And if I really feel that, I feel a weight. It's not that I get to run amok. It's that I feel responsible to make that person's life better, to help that person grow, to help the organization with that person's involvement. So let me read it again. We don't have people. We have a responsibility to people. And if you remember that, you're going to become the kind of leader that you want to follow. Hey, that's the purpose of our show. Thank you for listening. And I hope that that helps you, provide you a lot of food for thought about how to be a better leader.